Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He leads away. Australia are away.
Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg Lanning.
This is excellent batting by Ash Gardner.
Jonathan strikes again. She's on a hat-trick. She comes at Molyneux. Catch is taken by Perry.
The Australian women's cricket team win their fifth T20 World Cup title in front of a magical crowd at the
end. Hello and welcome to The Scoop. We are the cricket podcast dedicated to the women's game. My name is Emily Collin.
And I'm Laura Jolly.
And LJ, we've one series down and one to go here in Bangladesh after the Aussies swept the ODI series with three very convincing victories. Joining us on the show from Dhaka a little bit later on, we've got Beth Mooney and Alana King lined up. So that should be a fun chat. But firstly, LJ, let's take a look at how the Aussies fared in the one-dayers. How did you see it all unfold from your live stream screen in Melbourne?
From my bedroom. It was more one-sided than I thought. I think given how much Bangladesh have challenged teams like India and South Africa, even in South African conditions over the past year, I kind of thought it would be more competitive. I think, you know, it's also a testament to how well Australia have done, really, to go to a country they haven't played in for 10 years and to be that good in those conditions. How did you see it on the ground over there?
Yeah, you could tell it was, like, certainly wasn't easy conditions to play cricket in. I mean, firstly, the weather, it was extremely hot and humid for all the matches. And just the pitches, like watching the Aussie girls bat, you're kind of used to seeing them on Australian decks. You know, they look so free-flowing, finding the boundary with ease. But our top six, some of the best batters in the world. And you can tell they were struggling at different points of time, but also that they've been getting better every match. I mean, the girls have been training really hard over here. They've been putting in, some really long stints in the nets. So you can tell that that's paying off. I mean, even in the first ODI, like the batters, they were in a little bit of trouble. I think they were 4 for 48 at some stage. But Annabelle Sutherland, who came in and made a crucial half century, and Alana King, who hit a couple of sixes in the last over the day, and they ended up making 213, which was plenty. And then, in the second and third one dayers, the Aussies have bowled first, and I think we've seen the spinners really dominate, as I think probably a lot of people would have predicted. But it was great to see Sophie Molyneux in her return game picking up three wickets. Kingy and Ash Gardner have also been really effective, but it's also the quicks. Kimmy Garth bowled her seven overs up front yesterday and picked up three wickets. Elise Perry's been bowling up the top as well, and she's picking up wickets as well. So it's not just been the spinners, but the quicks as well. So, we'll chat a little bit more to Kingy and Moons about how they've found the conditions. But moving to the T20s, LJ, you get the sense that the Aussies will be pretty keen to see what they can do in these conditions with the World Cup later in the year.
The T20s are going to be really interesting with that World Cup coming up later this year, particularly how the batters go about it. Like, they keep talking about how they want to play ultra-aggressive T20 cricket. They've changed up the makeup of the 11 to add that extra batter in with Grace Harris. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that approach plays out on Bangladeshi decks and whether they have to, like, change up their approach or at all, and also what the bowling attack looks like, because they've kind of only run with the two spinners, and obviously Grace can bowl spin too. They just haven't used her. It'll be interesting to see how they approach that makeup, whether they find a way to get another spinner in there or or if they kind of stick to the formula they had against South Africa.
Yeah, yeah, it will definitely be interesting. And I dare say there'll be a little bit of experimentation amongst the bowling lineup, as we saw in the one days. Do you reckon we'll get to see Taylor Vollemick put on the gold for the T20 series? We didn't see her get a chance in the one days, but I can tell you she's been bowling fast in the nets, looking like she's itching to get out there. So do you reckon there's a spot in the 11 for her in the next three games?
Surely. I mean, they're unlikely to have Megan Shute play all three anyway, with the way they manage her workloads. But you don't bring Taylor Vollemick all the way to Bangladesh to not play her and to see how she goes in these conditions and to give her a run in the green and gold. So surely at least one game we'll get to see Taylor out there.
Yeah, surely. I also hope, for the sake of me and the batters and maybe some viewers at home, that the Aussies maybe get a chance to bat first and see if they can adjust to the conditions out there and see what kind of total they can put on the board.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really important, and the only T20s they've lost in the last year have come when they've been batting first. So it's an area of their game they probably do need to work on and make themselves a bit uncomfortable in that sense. So hopefully we see that. Hopefully we get to see Grace Harris have a bit of a hit. From what you've been saying, it sounds like she's going really well in the nets.
Oh, I mean, I feel like Grace is always smoking them in the nets. Like, she's just like the ball sounds different when it comes off her bat. And it's been no different over here. Yeah, we saw her got a late call up in the third ODI with Talia McGrath having some back issues, but Grace was restricted to fielding duties only obviously due to the depth of the team, only lost two wickets, so she wasn't required. But yeah, hopefully we see Grace to get a chance in her favourite format. I think that would be great for everyone. So the T20s get underway on Sunday here in Dhaka. Aussie fans, the loyal ones of you will know that you can tune into the BCB's YouTube stream. It's actually pretty good quality. Commentary is good. Shout out to Anisha Ghosh, who's been a great addition to that commentary team and the crew over here. But LJ, changing topics a little bit, we had an international schedule released earlier in the week. Some very exciting fixtures for our Aussie girls on the horizon, namely that pink ball ashes test at the MCG. Your thoughts on the schedule?
Yeah, how good. It was I was so pleased to see that they've kind of followed in similar footsteps to what the ECB did for the Ashes last year by putting some of the biggest games in some of the biggest grounds in Australia. That the idea of an Ashes test at the MCG is so cool and hopefully really taps into some of that momentum around women's sport at the moment. But also to see T20 cricket back at the SCG, Adelaide Oval on the schedule again. It's super exciting, and they get around to every state and the ACT at some point in the summer, if not during the Ashes, then during one of the other series. So I think that's really cool to see too.
Yeah, it's a great schedule. I mean, I think a lot of fans should be very excited about it. It's going to be busy for the Aussie girls, you know, with WBBL in there, a World Cup, Ashes, WPL at the back end. But, you know, that's the life of an international cricketer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be basically nonstop from mid-September through to the end of March for the girls who do go to the WPL in between the Ashes and that last New Zealand trip. There's only ever a couple of days in between. I think they go straight from the third match against New Zealand to Dhaka for the World Cup, come back, WBBL is going to start straight away. As soon as WBBL ends, those games against India start, then they're off to New Zealand. So it's going to be hectic, but super exciting.
Yeah, it'll be good fun. And just finally, LJ, we've also got the Australian under-19 girls playing a tri-series in Sri Lanka, with Sri Lanka, obviously, and England as well, which is a really cool opportunity for these young up-and-comers. I believe you spoke to friend of the Scoop, Kristen Beams, earlier in the week, who is coaching the team over there. What did Beamsy have to say about the tour?
Yeah, it was great to chat to Beamsy before they headed off and just to find out a bit about this group that's gone over there. It's mostly going to be made up of players who will be eligible for that World Cup in Malaysia next January, the Under-19 World Cup. There's just two players who won't be, and with Amy Smith and a left-arm spinner called Sienna Eve, who they decided to bring along on this tour anyway because they obviously really, really rate them, see them having big futures in Australian cricket, and they want to give them a taste of Sri Lankan conditions. And for everyone else, it's a cool chance to play in Sri Lanka, which might be similar to the kind of conditions they'll get in Malaysia. Lots of familiar faces in there for people who follow the WNCL and WBBL. It's kind of cool to know these kids have, you know, you've got players like Kate Pally who stepped in for Elisa Healy for a whole WBBL season, and she's on this tour. So that's super exciting. And we've found out that it's going to be streamed.
How good. Yeah. So Aussie fans, the action gets underway today, Thursday. And Aussie fans can tune into all those matches on the Sri Lanka Cricket YouTube channel. So lots of YouTube viewing for the loyal Aussie cricket fans.
And the other great bit of news, Beamsy said, actually, was also that they're going to have a tri-series in Australia later this year too. Sri Lanka's
going
to be part of that. Probably not England. It doesn't really work out with their domestic schedule, but there will be a third team and it'll take place in Australia at the start of next summer. So that's very cool.
I think that's enough from us, LJ. Great to see you. But for now, hope everybody enjoys listening to what Kingy and Moons have been getting up to here in Dhaka. Beth Mooney, Alana King, welcome to a very special episode of the Scoop podcast here in Dhaka. Now, you guys are playing a game of Monopoly Deal as we speak. Has this been a common theme throughout this tour?
Well, Em, I don't know if you know, but there's not a lot happening here in the Desh. We're not really allowed to leave the hotel, yeah. So we do frequent the team room. I won't mention how many hours a day because we might get put into a mental institution somewhere, but we do spend a fair bit of time in the team room playing Monopoly Deal.
All right. So Bangladesh, as you mentioned, Moons, it's not a typical tour. It's a bit different to what a tour in Australia or England might look like. For the fans who maybe have no idea what Bangladesh is like, paint a little bit of a picture of it. Like even travelling to and from the ground is a pretty unique experience.
In terms of the tour, I think it's actually a really good tour for us in the lead up to a World Cup later on in the year. But conditions are very different to what we've experienced even in India and yep. the subcontinent. We saw in the first ODI, balls were spinning that much that Moons or Midge couldn't even catch the ball. the unpredictable bounce. So it's presented its challenge in itself. But yeah, the travel probably to the ground with, what, 8 police cars with us. It takes about 30 minutes.
The decoy bus. Really talk about. Yeah, well, I mean, now people know there's a decoy bus, so.
But no, it's just a little bit different. I think the whole staying in the hotel's probably quite different to what we've all experienced before. I know in India we could roam around a little bit more and a little bit freely, but it's just a bit different being a bit hotel or ground, and that's the only part you're seeing of Dhaka, which is unfortunate.
So what else have you guys been doing apart from Monopoly Deal?
There's a few people been down on the treadmill this morning. My face is still a little bit red.
What are Moons?
Other than that, not heaps. We've had the IPL on in the team room.
Yeah. A few movies that have been thrown around.
Yeah.
But a lot of time playing cards in your own room. There's not a whole lot, but I actually think it's gone quicker than what I anticipated.
Speak for yourself.
Sorry, Moons, we've only spent 6 hours in the team room one day playing cards, but hey.
So it's been a massive summer, as you mentioned, Moons, come straight from the WPL. We've got another huge summer ahead. Feels like you guys are just playing more and more cricket and the game's changing pretty quickly. How do you both feel about it and how do you feel about so much cricket on the horizon and how do you stay fresh?
Yeah, I think it's where the game's going. I think the game's becoming more professional, which is what we've always wanted. We wanted more cricket. It's just now balancing your life outside of cricket, and when you're home, what does that look like, and how you can fill your bucket up, whether it's catching up with mates or doing stuff that really fills your bucket to make sure that you're refreshed for tours like this, which is you don't get a lot of time alone.
Yeah, I reckon, you know, the more cricket, obviously, the better. In terms of being fresh, like, you know, having this tour at the end of a long summer has had its challenges, obviously, but most of the challenges have usually stemmed from being so confined and restricted in what you can do.
Yeah.
So perhaps if we, you know, had a little bit more freedom now, which we, you know, we can't have just based on the conditions we're in, which is fine. I think, you know, you would find that people were, you know, would perhaps be a bit more their usual bubbly self, so to speak. So in terms of how much cricket there is on the horizon, like, you can manage yourself pretty well these days on tours post-COVID because you've got that freedom to still go out and do things and feel like a normal human away from the park, and then you can be the best version of yourself when you get to training or you get to the games, whereas as soon as you take that freedom away, it makes it a little bit tough. But, you know, like Kingy mentioned, we've got a big series coming up at the end of the year here for a World Cup, so we've got to make sure that we're utilising the time that we have here to work out, okay, this has been a real challenge because we've been confined. We're probably going to face a similar thing during the World Cup. So how are we going to get the best out of each other so that we get the result that we want? So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just trying to, I guess, learn as we go and work out what's required when we do come back here in October.
Crickety question for you both. Taylor Vollemic, back around the squad. How's it been facing her in the nets again?
Not nice.
Yeah.
My days of facing Taylor Vollemic in the nets are done. I had one day facing her and that was enough. I'm done. I'm not doing it again. And especially not after Grace had a helmet wrecked the other day. So I'm out. See you guys. I'm having to throw down for the rest of my career.
The coaches have been nice and I have not had to face her and I've opted out to face any bowlers at training, so I don't know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask, but I'm very happy not facing her in the nets. But from all reports, like, she's bowling really well. I think everyone's excited to have her around. It's been a long wait for her, but hopefully we see her, you know, take some poles in the T20 series, and, you know, hopefully it sets her up for the year coming ahead.
The other thing I just want viewers to understand, just so that you all don't think I'm a pussy, is that the fast bowlers all bowl this far over the line.
I agree.
So I'm basically on my stumps when I'm facing Taylor. I can't go any further back, but I reckon she just keeps her, that front foot creeping over the line. The further back she's, like, honestly, the fast bowlers in the nets.
It's never nice facing. Like, I think the nets just change your whole way you bat. Just because you feel like you can't move, no matter how wide the nets are.
Really?
You just feel like, it's completely different to facing them in a centre wicket practice. Yeah.
Okay.
I had my fair share of darts bowling to me at the Wacker pre-test. Yeah. And
that was after I got put on the floor, wasn't it?
No, we were batting at the same time.
Oh.
And I batted to darts first, and I was like, this could go one of two ways, and I'm not sure which way it is, but I survived, and then I looked over, Moon's face, darts in the next... the swap over of the nets, and I was a bit worried for Moon's welfare when I see her on her ass.
Oh, no.
And I know Moon's hates people asking, "Are you okay?" Because she's okay.
Not.
Don't know what to ask when someone's on the ground and she didn't
move.
It's
the natural question.
My presence was there for Moon, so that's all I had for her because I was a bit worried. That's all, but I didn't know what else to ask, so...
So, yeah, I won't be facing fast bowls in the nets.
Yeah.
Again, on this tour, at least.
What's the scariest spell of bowling you've had to face in a match?
No, in matches, I'm totally fine.
Okay.
I wouldn't say you've... I'm with Kingy, like, in the nets, you feel a bit trapped and, like, claustrophobic almost, but in a game, you've got so much space and it feels like you've got so much time to make decisions and stuff like that, so... In a game, I reckon Ishmael at her quickest was pretty scary when she could swing it as well.
Yeah
Ishmael in the 100 2 years ago, I only faced 3 balls of her, but...
3 was enough.
3 was enough, and I've told Nat Siver, like, mate, you need to get down this end. Like, I'm good. I'm good watching you belt her around, but you can face her, but...
I will say everyone's pumped that Tay's around the group.
Yeah.
So in terms of I think having a free-flowing Taylor Vollemic in our team makes us not a lot better, but it gives us a point of difference.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's not many people in the world that can do what she do, bowl at the pace that she does and swing the ball like she does. So I'm really excited to hopefully see her international career take off.
Yeah.
And all our fingers and toes across for her that she can get a sustained period of time on the park, because we know how much she... enjoys the contest and how competitive she is. So, I'm pumped that she's back around the group, but no, I'm not facing her in there.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Now, you two, tell me about how this friendship blossomed. When did you two meet and when did you become great friends?
Well, it was when...
Well.
Probably the first year that I moved over to the Scorchers.
Yeah.
Scorchers, baby.
Scorchers.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, Moons... We just gravitated to each other. Moons is my best friend as being a leg spinner. I need a great keeper behind the stumps, and Moons does a fantastic job for me at the Scorchers.
Not that first year, but since then I've sorted it out.
And then, yeah, it just kind of blossomed from there. And then when I was part of the Aussie setup for my first tour in the Ashes, like Moons took me under her wing and
for 24 hours.
For 24 hours before she decided to not play a ball that she should have hit Monty for six. Oh. But anyhow, we won't talk about that. But, yeah, Moons has always been there from when I made the next step into this team, and forever grateful for what Moons has made me feel welcome in this team. And even Shell, I think the Scorchers family really got me going in this team. And, yeah, I think we've got along very well from there. And I don't know, that's I can only speak for myself. Moons, probably I'm sick of King.
I haven't said that yet.
Yet.
Yet being... I think King is spot on. Like when Scorchers signed her, I think it was my second year. Obviously, she destroyed us in a semi final. Scorchers v Stars in that hub year, but we made a good call in getting her over to Perth. And I think King is just one of those people that you need in a team because she's quite energetic and it's infectious and she's competitive. So you know, like. You know, when she's out on the field, she's going to do everything possible to try and help you in the game. But off the field, she's always up for socialising or hanging out or checking in with people. Like, you know, I think every team needs a king because, you know, if you're feeling a little bit flat or you feel like you're on your own a bit, king is the first person I go, oh, let's play cards or let's get a coffee. Or and so I think from my point of view, it's been really nice having her in the group. You know, especially in the last couple of years since, like, Meg and Rach have retired, who were two of my pretty good buddies, so... Yep.
All sporting teams have, like, a slightly different feel, vibe around them.
Mm.
What would you say... What's the difference between when you're in the Australian camp and the Scorchers camp?
That's a tough question. I reckon the Scorchers camp is... Obviously, WBBL is quite condensed, so you're around everyone, like, 24-7.
Yeah.
You've got, like, little weekend tours away or, in our case, like, sometimes we're away for, like, a week from Perth. You know, so there's, an element of managing people having time to get away from the group and being able to do different things, but also trying to integrate team stuff along the way. Like, I think Scorchers are pretty good at doing lots of team things like quiz nights and...
Yeah, quiz nights have been a staple for us.
Courtesy of Sophie Devine. So in the Australian team, it's a little bit different. People sort of get left to their own devices a bit, especially on tours in countries where there's a bit more freedom. Here is a little bit different because we've probably had a few more team things on, which has been great. So I'd say it's just different. Like, it's a real condensed time at Scorchers, whereas there's a bigger picture with the Australian stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, we're obviously working towards two white ball World Cups in the next 18 months, so there's, like, a bit of a focus on that and trying to make sure we get, you know, the connection of the group right and the culture and so that when we come to those big tournaments, we've got the best opportunity to perform, whereas, you know, WBBL's short, sharp, punchy. You got to get it right from game one. But they're all fun in different ways.
So what do you think is, like... I know you would have obviously been in different teams. You've both spent time around AFLW teams. What do you think makes this Australian team unique?
Well, for starters, we have some of the best players in the world in our team, so that helps. So we, you know, we hold each other accountable to performances on the field, behaviour off the field. You know, everyone here wants to get better. There's a common goal. There's a real purpose to why we do things the way we do them. So, you know, I reckon there's a great element of being able to get the best out of everyone that comes in. And the other thing that probably makes this team so good that no one really talks about is our domestic structures are very good. So people have walked into this team, you know, I think of the young players like Belzy, Tay, Soph, Wolf, and like they came straight into the team and performed from game one. And I just don't know that many teams in the world have that luxury that we do. And they slot straight in performance-wise and they slot straight in culture-wise. So, yeah, I think that makes a real difference.
Yeah, and I also think on the back of that is, this team has been together for a long period of time as well and has been so successful over a long period of time. So when you spend a lot of time on tour with each other, you kind of... Everyone's different. Everyone's got different personalities. You get to know each other, yes, on field, but what makes someone tick off field as well. And you can kind of see when someone's flagging and they need a bit of love.
Yeah, pretty
staff
easily.
Staff are a really good group of people.
Don't give them that much credit.
But I think that's what this team prides itself on. Like, yes, good cricketers and good coaches, but end of the day, they're good people. And I think that's what we're all about and we've always been about. I know Meg and Rach sat me, whilst we were on a Zoom, and just kind of said, like, this is what our team's about and these are our values and how can you just not add your cricketing skills, but what can you add to this group away from cricket as well in alliance to our values? So,
did somebody sit you down when you came into the team? And
No. Well, I first came into the group in 2014 in Bangladesh.
Oh.
And ran drinks at the
T20. So this was your first ever tour?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
So, well, it was a very different group, different coaching staff.
Yeah.
The program was run pretty differently. And I remember leaving thinking... And I'm probably being too honest here, but, you know, stick with the brand.
Yep.
The Moons brand. I literally left thinking, you know what, it's okay if I don't play for Australia.
Okay.
It wasn't really an appealing kind of place to be.
Yeah.
Obviously, the girls won that World Cup, but I literally was just there as a backup keeper. So, yeah, I think a lot changed.
Right?
Yep. Obviously, when Moddy came in and Meg and him worked quite well together, and then, you know, they bought Rach back in from the wilderness, so to speak, and you know, the three of them worked really well together to create an environment that was you know, fun and accepted you for who you were and allowed you to be the best version of yourself both on the field and as a person as well. So, you know, I would, yeah, it's an environment where you want to be in and you want to be part of something bigger than just yourself. So, yeah, it's been quite a good change as well. But yeah, certainly 10 years ago when I first walked into the group, that was probably wasn't the case.
When did it start to get better? Like, were there a few tough years at the start?
I sort of ran drinks for a bit, which people were very quick to forget.
Yeah.
As I said, when Moddy came in and I guess the culture of the group sort of changed a little bit and, you know, the expectations changed with that as well. Obviously, we started getting paid more, so you could actually spend more time working on your skills, and there wasn't a big disparity between people that could and people that couldn't.
Yeah.
That probably changed a fair bit.
Yeah.
Within the group, and then, yeah, I reckon that made it. Did you put that down?
Sorry, that was meant to be here.
Yeah. That made it like an enjoyable environment to be in.
Okay.
And I guess the management and Cricket Australia and the ACA have obviously invested a lot.
Yep.
Into making sure that we've got everything we need to be successful but also be happy humans off the field as well.
Now, Moons, you turned 30 earlier this year.
Yep.
You were at the party.
It's your turn.
Yep.
Give us a review of Moons' 30th.
Jeez. poor Kingy actually got stuck with...
No, it wasn't stuck. So we just finished our tour of India.
Yeah.
And I was like... Yeah, I obviously want to be at Moons' 30th. So I was like, well, I don't want to go to Perth to then fly to Brisbane for the party to then fly back to Perth. So I was like, right, Moons, if it's okay with you, can I just fly straight to Brisbane with you and then spend a couple of days with you? But then I didn't know that her whole family were coming up. I'm like, Moons, no, like, I'm not staying there. Like, all your family's there. That's your time. It's family time. She's like, no.
All Kiki's dreams came true, by the way. She had to share a bed with me. So,
like, literally
the only spare spot in the house.
Like, even some of the couches are taken. And I'm like, Moons, I'm happy to, like, sleep on a couch. She's like, well, there's no couch left.
So, like, my sister didn't even get a bed at my house. The party was pretty fun.
The party was great. And I thought, Moons did exceptional job of celebrating her day. I don't know who was actually best on.
I reckon Strano.
Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Jackie.
Yeah, Strano did a performance for Moons. She wanted the full shebang. She wanted the microphone. She wanted the dim lights, dance.
The one in the runway.
It was a great day. Yeah. And glad that I was able to be there.
It was good. It was nice to selfishly get everyone in the same room, so I didn't have to have 20 coffees in the 10 days I was home. You know, some of my schoolmates were there. That's so cool. Different people from different worlds. It was good. I'm glad I did it. It was a little bit uncomfortable at times, but it was awesome. Like, and to have my uncles up from Victoria and my cousins and spend the weekend in my house in Brisbane was great.
But I must say, the night off your party, so I was very jet lagged. I was not sure where I was, because I was like, one, I'm not even in Perth. I mean, it's still in a different time zone. Moons is like, right, we're waking up.
Get up.
We're going to Fit Stop. And I was like, this is the night before. And I was like, sounds great. Moons, we're going to be sleeping through. Anyhow, it comes at like 5:30. Moons is like, first of all, Ruby jumps on me. Like, fair enough, I'm in Ruby's spot. She sleeps there. Didn't know there was someone on that side of the bed. Ruby jumps up. I'm like, oh, God, okay. Like, yeah, no worries, Ruby. And then it's like, right, we're leaving in 10 minutes. And I was like...
Fitstop was at 7:30.
No, it wasn't.
6:30,
correct, on a Saturday. When we
just want everyone to see in the video, I look wide awake and Kingy's got slits for eyes.
I was not okay. I don't think I was awake at all throughout any of that workout.
Win the morning, win the day.
No regrets.
No, because we did earn our beers and champagne. So
lovely.
I was happy. Once the workout was done, it was great.
Weekend.
But
it was a good weekend. We got some exercise in. Yeah, had a few beers.
Mixing it up.
Yeah.
Now, Moon, some people were like, feel funny about turning 30. How did you feel about turning 30?
I actually felt okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt okay. I haven't been asked too many questions about retirement just yet, so that's been good. Usually when you turn 30, apparently that's the first question people ask
you.
According to Midge and Meg, who've spoken pretty frequently about that in the past. They must think I'm going to play till I'm 40, so... But yeah, I think I've had a pretty good 30 years so far, so hopefully the next 30 are pretty good as well.
Biggest lesson you learnt in your 20s?
Probably the biggest one was making sure I made decisions that fitted in with my morals and character, regardless of what the outcome would be on me.
Okay.
So just being true to myself, being honest, and accepting that if you do that, it might not end well for you, but if I'm living by my character and my morals and values, then I'm okay with that, because if I didn't do that, I probably wouldn't be able to live with myself. So I reckon that's probably the biggest one.
I'm still in my 20s, so I'll let you know in a couple of years' time.
Soak it up. I just wanted to ask you guys your thoughts on the international schedule, which has come out last week. Some big ticket matches in there. General thoughts from you guys.
I'm pumped. I think got some big teams coming out in the summer, so like New Zealand, India, England, like three of our biggest rivals, I'd say.
Yeah.
So if you're going to get bang for your buck paying $20 for a ticket or whatever it is, wherever it is in the country, you're probably going to see a very good game across the board. Like T20s against New Zealand leading up to the World Cup will be great. Mackay's a great facility.
Yeah.
Obviously had some success there a few years ago against India. Into AB Field, which I think is one of the better grounds for domestic and international cricket in Australia. So I'm pumped that we're going back to the Wacker and being able to play England there in a day-night ODI. So that'll be fun. And then obviously finishing with the test match at the G hopefully coinciding with the Australian Open somehow, which would be great.
AO, hit us up, please.
Thank you. So the G to finish will be incredible, seeing as most of us haven't been back there since that T20 World Cup final. So if we can get a crowd similar to that, that'd be great.
Epic.
And finishing with our biggest rivals in England in an Ashes, I think it's going to be a great summer.
It'll be big.
Well, I think what England did to host the home Ashes they had last year, they did a great job in the venues that we played at. So it's our chance to shine, and we're going to be playing at the SCG. We're going to play at Adelaide Oval, MCG.
Huge.
I've never played at the SCG, so I'm really excited to be playing.
Yeah.
To be hopefully playing there.
The last time we played at the SCG as well was that rain-affected semi.
Oh, semi. True. Yeah.
So there's been some good memes.
Yeah.
At some of these big grounds, like Adelaide Oval. Kingy made a debut there. I made my debut there.
Did you?
Now we're getting to play at our home ground, the Wacker, as well during the summer. So
I think
the scheduling looks unbelievable. Like, we're going to be travelling the whole country, which is what we want to do, especially in a home summer. Ash is obviously the biggest ticket grabbing opportunity, I guess, for everyone. So it's going to be great.
Are always good. Always good between us and England, and obviously us and India and New Zealand are always pretty tight as well. So and it's a pretty full schedule, but as we discussed earlier, like, we're just pumped that we're playing more cricket. There's more opportunities for us as a group and as individuals to play on the big stage and at these huge stadiums. Like, I think they've nailed it.
Yeah, 100%.
Easter is this weekend. This is my last question. Would you prefer to eat a hot cross bun or an Easter egg?
Hot cross bun.
Easter egg.
Oh, I could smash
the Cadbury, little eggs, Cadbury Dairy Milk. They taste better. This is controversial, but they taste better than the actual plain block of Dairy Milk.
I agree.
I could eat 500 of them and be okay. I couldn't eat more than 4 squares of the Cadbury Dairy Milk block.
Yeah.
But, if there's a bowl of Cadbury Easter eggs,
I'm just not
saying no.
I'm with you there, but, Ash and I were just talking about it before, hot cross buns popped up on my Instagram. Yeah. Someone was posting it, and I was like, I'm missing a bit of home now, because nothing better than a hot cross bun.
Yeah.
With butter and lather that butter. I could go through a whole pack.
Me too.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Are you gourmet hot cross bun or supermarket?
No, just Baker's. Just plain.
Baker's hot cross bun.
Yeah.
Or Woolies or Coles.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a fancy, hot cross buns are hot cross buns,
right? Agree.
And as soon as they go in the microwave, they all taste the same.
Yum.
True.
They're so good.
Now,
I'm not sure we're going to get a hot cross bun here, guys, but hopefully someone's had some forward thinking and bought some Cadbury Dairy Milk eggs. Or Cadbury, can you send some over?
Yeah.
We're desperate.
We
are desperate.
Help some sisters out in the dish.
Kingy Moons, thank you guys so much for spending an hour of your Monopoly deal with me and the Scoop podcast. Been great to chat to you guys about life in the desh and life outside the desh.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for having us. And it's 2-0 to Moons.
2-0 to Moons. Australia are away. Sit back and enjoy the stroke play of Meg
Lanning. This is excellent batting by. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.